Well, today we're carrying on the church challenge of 30 days of just pondering about what a church is about and how would you recognize it if you saw a New Testament church, what would it look like? So today, the first day we talked about joining the family. Then we talked about worship. Now today we're talking about spiritual growth, the process of spiritual growth. Not that we pretend, not that I pretend to know what it's all about, but I do know some of the things that make us grow and some of the things that stifle us and that don't make us grow at all. Now, the story is told of a group of tourists. They were touring a village and an old man was seated on a park bench, and one of the tourists asked him this: "Has there been any great men born in the small town, in this small town?" I'll give it again. He said, "Has there been any great men born in this small town of yours?" No, the man replied afterwards for a moment thought, "Only babies." No great men were born. See, where I grew up, no great men were born there either. Just babies. Just babies. So just as no man or any woman is born great, there's no great women born. There's no great men born. No Christian is mature immediately upon being born into the family of God. Each believer starts this new life as a babe in Christ. No matter how famous you might be, no matter how important you might be, no matter how significant you might be, we all go the same way. There's a point of our life where we were all babies in Jesus. We were immature. We needed to grow. So it's God's plan for every believer to grow from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. And it's a lifetime thing. And what a journey. One of the greatest journeys you'll ever be on is on this discipleship program of Jesus, of becoming followers of him with all of our hearts. But I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, one of the most significant passages of Scripture that you will ever come across. This is a powerful, 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 powerful Scripture. Listen to it. Verse 10, I'll begin a little early. "He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." Now, to picture that, he's going to fill the whole universe. "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature." That's his plan. God's plan is not, the purpose was to give you salvation, was not to save you from your sins. That needed to be done. But that wasn't the goal. The goal was transformation. That you and I would become mature, attaining, en route towards it, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the word in love, in all things we grow up into him." Grow up. Again, there's that phrase again. Grow up in him. "Who is the head, who is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love, just as each part does its work." Here we have this journey that we're on, far beyond the 30-day journey, but we can at least point towards it as being crucial. Is the goal? The goal of spiritual growth is Christ-like character. That's where we're trying to go. That's what all of our labors are about. That's what our prayers are about. That the body would become mature. That the body would become mature. That the body would become mature. Because otherwise, you have an immature body that didn't grow. Didn't mature. Maybe even crippled. with all types of personal problems and hang-ups and issues and not a healthy thing at all. That can easily happen. So our goal is to produce people who are increasingly reminding you and I of Jesus by their attitude. Well, I'll touch on that a little bit later here. So what does, and this is a good question, because I think it's natural for a new believer. Don't you love new believers because they don't know they don't know what they're supposed to ask and not ask. Right? It's just kind of fun. Everything from starting off with, well, I was reading in the book of Job, and right after Pam's, and then I finally came, as one lady says, then I got to the book of Revelation. I said, you mean Revelation? Whatever. You know, that didn't matter, but there, she was reading her Bible and all kinds of funny things and other things that I can't tell you from the pulpit that people have said about the Christian life. And they did it innocently, and I'll leave it, lest I'm looking for a job myself. So many new Christians ask the question, what does spiritual maturity look like? Isn't that a good question? I think that's an excellent question. What does it look like? I mean, if we ever were to spot somebody like that, or if we were to become somebody who's spiritually mature, what does it look like? Well, I know what it looks like. The answer is that it looks like Jesus. That's the answer. It looks like Jesus. He's not only the object of our faith, but he is the object of our growth. Right? We focused on him to save us. And how we think, look and live. We look to the Lord and we lived. But now we must look to the Lord for our growth. That's how it works. God's plan from the very, very beginning, right from the day one, was that each believer in Christ would be transformed to his likeness. To get people saved? Yes, it's good. Necessary. Is that the goal? No. Getting them mature is the goal. So they become like the Lord. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says, don't you know that you've been predestined by the Lord to become to the image of God's Son. That's what the Lord is. Oh, and I've got a plan for you. It's to make you more and more like me in this process that I call discipleship. So as we grow in Christ and we become more like him, right? That's be disappointed if you aren't, because he does have change in mind for my life as well as yours. And it doesn't matter how long, whether you are a short time on the road or a long time on the road, it doesn't really matter so much about that, because either way, he's got the same goal. So as we grow in Christ and become more like him, those around us should be able to see God's image reflected in us. And I'd like you to turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Listen to this, such a powerful verse. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. Now you might say, I didn't see too much difference about my life. Well, you're maybe not the best judge of it. Other people, how many know other people often spot growth in somebody else? They say, boy, so-and-so is really growing mature in the things of the Lord. One thing is for certain, and I was just reading this in 1 Corinthians, is that knowledge puffs up, love builds up. In other words, do not be impressed by how much Bible somebody knows. That will throw you off every time. There are people who know the Bible very, very well. They can battle with you, and they usually love battling with you. But I find this, the person that is talking about their knowledge, almost always, there may be some weird, strange, you know, it's not true, but I think pretty well always it's true, is that there's very little fruit in their life. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. We're concerned about the building up. Not just how much. See, we can get you educated. You can learn certain things. We start with the Ten Commandments, and you can learn the books of the Bible, and you can learn about the major doctrines, and you'll be able to study about open theism. And that's the key word, right? Open theism. And we can keep going on this thing forever and say, oh boy, they really know a lot. Yes. But is there any fruit? And what is the fruit? Christlikeness. That's what we look for. It's reflected. God's image is reflected in us little by little by little. Now, I need to point out, not physically, right? Not physically. I don't think we're saying, you know, look, they're wearing sandals. And then later we notice you have a robe on and longer hair and quoting a lot of Bible verse. I don't think so. I don't think so. It's not physically. But how is it then? It is in our attitudes. That's one of the first things. Attitudes. Reactions. How am I reacting to my dear wife? How am I reacting to you? How are you reacting to me? Those are good questions. Attitudes, reactions, behaviors, right? And our treatment of others. How you treat people is an indication of how well you're doing. And of course, the measurement of our love. That above and beyond all else, we need to fall in love with Jesus and become like him, and that we would grow in our love. Grow in your love for people where one time you might not have been able to stand that kind of person. Now you find yourself not only tolerating, but actually wishing them well and wanting God's blessing in their life. Well, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, we've been given everything we need to know and everything we need to have to grow, we have in our relationship with Christ. There's not extra things thrown in here. So it's important to know that when we are born again, we are born spiritually with all that we need to grow. Don't let anybody say, oh yes, but you need this secret thing, you need that secret thing, you need this. No, everything is in Jesus. You don't need something else beyond Jesus, you need Jesus. And if Jesus is in your life, he is the one, as Colossians tells us, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So whatever, as you look to him for your salvation, just by looking, all was provided. And as we look to him now for our growth, all the components are in place. They're just a matter of them moving into each one of them, and I'll explain that in a little bit here. So what else can we say about this thing so that we recognize, say, what does it look like? It looks like Jesus. A little bit more patience, more kind, caring, discerning, and all kinds of other things that go with it, but those are the things. It's not physical. That's my point in saying that. So secondly, spiritual growth comes gradually in phases. It doesn't come all at once, as disappointing as that would be. Kind of wish, matter of fact, when people give their hearts to Christ, don't you wish we could line them up at the front here with a machine gun and we shoot them all, and they go straight to be with the Lord without any other process, right? They come to the Lord because they're going to be telling us, well, now there's the Christian walk. We want you to grow in the Lord. And we say, here's your Bible. Here's your four spiritual laws. Here's the requirements. Here's the night of the prayer meeting. Here's the Bible study. Make sure you sign up for 30-day challenge. And we, oh man, where's that machine gun? Right? Because at least I will go straight to be with the Lord. I will become instantly mature, right, in heaven. So it comes in phases, does it not? You think about your own experience. There are seasons of growth. There are seasons of non-growth. I mean, there's maybe a little growth, but not so much. And I look at my life now, there'll be phases where I say, boy, I think I'm going backwards. And then other moments I'll say, thank you, God. You've really made me think differently about that. And I thank you for putting that in my heart. But the seasons of growth. So don't be discouraged if it's not always just straight up like that. It's often uphill and it's bumpy at times, but it's a good thing, but it does come in phases. So we should expect to drink milk before we eat meat. Isn't that what the writer says? Right? We should expect to drink milk before we can eat meat and to crawl before we can walk. So there's tottering in the spirit, right? We're not quite sure of this Christian life. It's just a little unsure. I've never done this before, never lived like this before. So there's that crawling that takes place. But I know this, that only the Holy Spirit can produce growth in somebody. It doesn't matter what you put people through. Now, I mean, they can learn more, but in terms of the actual becoming like the Lord, it takes the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, oh, and didn't you disciple them? Now, they're not walking with the Lord anymore. Didn't you disciple them? I said, looks like it. Looks like I discipled them. Because they certainly aren't growing. They certainly aren't growing at all. But only the Holy Spirit can, just like only the Holy Spirit can produce salvation, only the Holy Spirit can produce Christ-likeness, becoming like Jesus. Oh, that's so powerful. So what are some of the stages of growth? I came across this, and I thought this is really good because it just gave me a platform for my own thinking. Number one, there's establishing faith. That's the starting point. For someone to repent of their... repentance is an early part of it, isn't it? You can't progress if you haven't repented of your sin. So repentance of your sin and the former way of life. And to trust in Christ as Savior. And I would say, well, if that indeed has happened, if they've repented of their sin and of the former way of living, and that they've trusted in Jesus now, as far as we know, that they have put their trust in Him, and not in themselves, but in the finished work of the cross, then I would say, plus water baptism. I would put that in the first phase of a Christian who's really been touched by the Lord, or an unsaved person who's been touched by the Lord, and they become a Christian. So, plus water baptism. And I say, you don't have to say, well, let's see if they take. We don't want to get them into there just in case, you know, maybe we need to approve. Listen, in the Bible, you don't find any waiting time from repentance to water baptism. Even Philip is a good example. Why don't we say, well, why don't you wait till you get to a bigger center? No, right here. Yeah, but he just accepted the Savior. And so there was no wait. You don't have to wait. And if you here are thinking about, I think I need to get my act together more. No, you don't. You just need to repent of your sin and say, and trust Jesus as your Savior and say, I would like now to get baptized as a Christ follower. That's all you need to know. Now, for some, of course, it will be longer just maybe because of them and the space that they're in. But that's establishing the faith. And the event is referred in Scripture as being born again. Right? Is so-and-so born again? And if John 3 and verse 7. So regardless of whether somebody comes to faith at age 8 or 48, it becomes a newborn baby in Jesus. Doesn't matter if they're sophisticated. Doesn't matter if they're talented. They have to come and we have to see them. You see, sometimes we're impressed by personality. Does anybody, somebody knows or who they are? And we treat them differently, and they come in the church and we treat them differently. Oh, you know, that's really, is it? Oh, I didn't know. That's his kind. Who knew? And now we think they don't have to, they're as if they're not a baby Christian. Right? You know what that's like? They say, no, they've got to go the route, all the rest of us. And to put on Christ. So first of all, laying foundation. Secondly, establishing faith. Secondly, laying foundations. We learn, and in this phase or stage, we learn who Christ is and how to follow Him. I think that's what's usually what it's about. Who Christ is and how to follow Him. And so you learn, one of the big things you learn is about the heart of God. Isn't it? The heart of God. Of how He feels about you, and who is God, and what do I know about Him, and what's His heart like? And of course, with that, we also learn the nature and character of Jesus. So you find out that Jesus loves me; He's not mad at me; He's not angry at me. So we learn all about the Lord, and that's why the Bible lessons are all about that—about this wonderful God who they committed their life to. So trusting Jesus for salvation, absolutely, but for other things as well. And you think back of anyone you've led to the Lord, or your own life, for example, is that what did they learn? Well, first of all, Jesus, my peace. Isn't that, that's so crucial, right? So they know how to walk in the peace of the Lord. Jesus, my provider. He will supply all my needs. How to yield to the Lord. Yeah. How to trust the Holy Spirit. How to get into the Word. Right? Where do I start with that? And guidance, the Lord my guide. That is all. So we're putting this into somebody's life, and we're telling them all these things that are so crucial. And I would say right up there in this phase is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I would think it would be wonderful if people came out of the tank speaking in tongues and praising the Lord. And that would be, you know, I say, let thy servant depart in peace. I have seen somebody come out of that tank dancing, full of the Spirit of God, and just be in the joy of the Lord. That would hold me for months. I just tell you that. Just hold me for months. Why? Because I can imagine that a new Christian who's been baptized now is baptized in the Spirit. How many know that's the equipping that we need? Not till they're 50 years old or later, but right when they're a brand new believer is that we bring them into the baptism of the Spirit. Now, along with that, I think in this phase of foundations is that we equip for ministry. We also equip for other things that go along that thing. For example, how to serve others. So this is equipping for ministry. I guess that's the big title. But how to serve others. How to become fishers of men. Yeah, indeed. How to share your faith. Where does that all fit in? So as we're equipping people, for example, how to share their testimony. What a valuable thing that is. Many have never done that. I'm thinking of writing an article, so when you see it, you'll know that I warned you. I'm writing an article on how to say grace. Because the first thing you learn is that, Christian, you're at somebody's place and they say, Richard, would you lead us in grace? Grace? Now, if you've never done that before, that is colossal. And how many know the first time somebody asked you to say the grace and you had Mary in there and Jesus and everything, it was just really kind of crazy. It's like the Christmas Vacation movie. They recite the declaration of what is it? Yeah, you remember that. So, little things like that, how to open and close a service, things that have to do with equipping for ministry. Power, so powerful. And then D, or three, whatever it is for you, developing new leaders. So it takes on now this phase from foundations to equipping for ministry. You take on the responsibility of others, how to live in the kingdom. Jesus chose 12 that they might be with him. And he sent them out to preach and to minister to others' needs. Now, I think it'd be wise here for me to say something about the dimensions of spiritual growth in this particular moment here. Because I think there's equipping and then there's restoring. Right? Equipping and restoring. And the reason why that restoring has to be there is because of the baggage that you brought here with you. That I brought here with me. The unhealthy patterns. How many know when you came to know the Lord, your patterns of your life were not very healthy? Yeah, right off, right? Just not healthy thinking. A lot of stinking thinking. A lot of negativity. A lot of low self-esteem. A lot of relational problems. A lot of personal struggles. A lot of clashing with others. And so we bring this baggage. And one of the things we do is help people to disengage from their baggage because it's killing them, right? It's killing, and they can't go on into the deeper things of the Lord because of attitudinal issues, personal issues, abuse, rejection, failed marriages, drug problems, dependency problems, all kinds, just a very big list. And generally, our thinking and our behaviors. See, they need to be transformed as well within us, how we think and how we behave. And I do know this, that God wants to restore us to emotional health, right? And I know in my own life as a people pleaser that I'm really grateful to Dr. Larry Crabb. I got tremendous insight from him about how to recognize it and how to break free from it so you're not forever pleasing people. So God wants to restore us to emotional health. That's part of the growth process. They say, what about Revelation? What about, yeah, that's it. What about Jeremiah? That's all important. But not if you are up against a wall and there's just pain and sorrow in your life. Right? There are people, folks, who go through life with a tremendous bag of pain. They are in serious trouble. Suicidal thoughts, despair, anguish. And they know a few hymns, right? And they come to church and maybe they even got baptized. But how many know that's the starting point, not the ending point? Right? So we address these issues as well as we can. And I'm grateful for Celebrate Recovery as well for a place for people to say, hey, I want to work on my issues. Because I think that's all we can ever require somebody is that they're not complete yet, but they're working on their issues. And hopefully that's what we're all doing. So there's no relational health without emotional health, right? No relational health without emotional health. And so there's this thing of equipping and this thing of restoring. So as believers, we make up a restoring community. It's a very beautiful thing, a restoring community where we demonstrate several things. But we demonstrate unconditional acceptance and we speak the truth to one another in love. That's the climate that we want to create. So this is a place where you could get healed as you journey on in the Lord, and that the chains are broken. How many, aren't we not glad for Neil Anderson? You know, think of the millions of people that have been brought into the bondage breaker, Jesus the bondage breaker. Somebody said to him, oh, you're the demon man. He said, I seldom talk about this except for lectures. He said, I'm not the demon man, I'm the Jesus man. What I'm just saying is the people that they came, and one of the things that we do is that when somebody comes to know the Lord and we detect that it's not just emotional pain, but demonic pain, that they're hearing voices that are telling them that they're no good, never will be any good. And that thing just, they'll try to do better, loser, you'll never make it, Jesus doesn't like you. And so we're just kind of aware that there's some bondages that need breaking in that person's life. And we say to them, would you like us to pray with you and to minister to you? Just because, and you find out that this has been that way since long time ago. And it's a very important thing to be able to, the laying on of hands and the coming against forces of darkness in that person's life that could well, maybe not even their fault, but I just know this, is that if there is a demonic aspect, that there's always because of consent and agreement. They just may not know where that consent or agreement was given. But as we identify that, and then we begin to minister and pray and say, oh, how wonderful when you see, you know what I like best? When you pray for someone and they're kind of dark. How many know what I'm talking about? Just kind of, there's a darkness about them. And especially here, the countenance. That's the part that's often dark about people. If they've been into dark, into occult, into New Age, and it's really funny. I remember one time I had a list of 28 things to check off in an interview. And I'm never sure if that should have been done maybe at baptism tank, but they don't know about that stuff just often at that point. But anyway, and I would say, okay, I said, I'm just going to ask you, you can just tell me if you've been involved in anything, then we'll close those doors and take back the consents. And ever been an occult? No. Ever been? No. But actually, they have. Listen, well, except for that time in the Urantia book. Oh, yeah, that. And about the trans-channeling. And about the, mantra that I was given. And that amulet around my neck I've been wearing for the last 35 years. And you find out that they all, 28 of them checked off. I've never been, because it wasn't called occult. It wasn't called witchcraft. It was called something, it was called enlightenment, it was called this, it was called that, right? And so I'm simply saying is that when it came to the 28, every one of them, I said, I wonder why they didn't have any freedom when the demonic presence all around them, except for one thing difference. Now Christ has come in, and now he wants to break that off their life. And that's it's a very powerful, very powerful thing. So we create an unconditional acceptance. So why would you ever consider opening your heart to a group of people unless you sense, number one, there is an unconditional acceptance, and you know that people will speak the truth in love to me. So you can't have a church that's judgmental and talks about people. You can't have it. They smell rejection a million miles away. And will not, because they talk about me now. She's the one. Oh, is she? I wasn't sure if that was her. Maybe, Whoa, that's death to growth. This has to be a place where you can bring your hang-ups and your mix-ups and your troubles and your baggage, and you can come, and people are going to put your arm around and say, listen, we're really glad you're here. And we're cheering. Whatever you do for God, we're with you 100% following you. Behind you, pushing you on in the good things of the Lord. One thing I would recommend for this week, and you've got other things to consider regarding your book, but Philippians chapter 1, it would be really, really, really good if you would meditate on this. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this, now I picked up the wrong Bible this morning here, so it might be the NIV you're getting from, but I'm sure you're okay. being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion till the day of Jesus Christ. Say that to yourself all this week. So you're sitting in your little quiet spot and say, Lord, thank you that you started a good work in me. See, Paul was so convinced that if he started the work, he's going to finish the work. And he's going to present you faultless in his presence. And I thought, praise the Lord, that's good. Someday the growth process will have finished its work. And we'll feel those arms around us, I'm sure. But you know the thing is, there's three stages. You know that I'm still being saved? Did you know that? You say, I thought there was something missing in you. That explains it. I say, no, I'm not completely saved. Not according to the scripture. You see, we have been made holy, right? 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus did that for us. We are presently being made holy. We have been made holy. We are being made holy. And one day we shall be completely holy. It's a process. Today we live in the already but not yet zone. Right? Not yet. I have been saved. What from? From the penalty of sin. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing. I am being saved from the power of sin. And someday, dear ones, here today, someday I'm going to be saved from the very presence of sin. From the penalty, from the power, from the presence. But not fully yet. And I want to keep on growing, and I trust that I'll be a model growth, somebody who models growth for you. I hope that all of us here model for each other. I hope that Brian and Renee will just model Jesus. That's what we want. So we want in our heart that somehow we're not saying, hey, look at the perfection. We're saying, listen, we've decided to follow Jesus. We're not going to turn back. We're not ever going to turn back. So if you want to track with us, you want to journey with us, that would be great. And so that would that be powerful. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. There are some things that are just important, but the great exchange that he who was rich became poor, that I was who poor might become rich. That's a great, great verse. 1 John 3, 2. Another one is that, let me read it for you here. I think you'll find it more than helpful. It's just one of those. How great is the love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are. That's what we are. And that's what we are. So powerful. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when he appears, we'll be like him. We'll be like him. God has you at Valley Church so that you will grow to be like him. And I will grow to be like him. Val will grow to be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everybody who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. It sanctifies us. It purifies us. There's things I don't do because I want to become more like Christ. All right? Philippians 2, verse 13 is that he that began a good work in you. That's so good. Good works in us. Now, as I wrap this up, I want to give you 7 ways how to tell that you were growing spiritually mature in the Lord. Now, these are not original with me, but I say amen to them. All right, are you ready for this? This is how we can tell. Now, remember, there's no condemnation to those in Jesus. So don't say, oh, that's what I thought. No, we're all en route. Here it is. You love the Lord most of all, and you love his people a close second. You love the Lord most of all. In other words, I love the Lord more than I love the saints. And that's good. But I love God's people right up behind that. The Lord requires you to love his people. If you don't love his people, then what is his body about? Right? We grow and we're built up in love. We don't have to like everything they do. We don't have to go on holidays together. But we need to love the people of the Lord. So we love the Lord most of all, and we love the people secondly. Close second. Number two, your daily Bible reading and prayer are not subject to whim. You practice this no matter where you are, how you're feeling. In other words, you don't say, oh, I'm a little tired because I won't read my Bible. No, you find there's patterns now that you find yourself, now you may be a little groggy, you may not be feeling very well, and so it may not be a long time, but you say, no, I always want to read something from Scripture. I want to read something from the Bible today, and I want to commit my life to the Lord. So even though you've done it before, say, Lord, I give this day to you, I commit myself to you, I yield myself, guide me, direct me. But they're not subject to whim, where you know that, I've told people that I often worry about, I'm becoming an environmentalist for some particular reason. Here it is that there's a lot of people who have dusty Bibles, right? And my fear is that if we all preached on this morning around, you know, around the world, and people started to say, you know, my Bible's kind of dusty, and they go, there's an ecological disaster, right, of people who blew the dust off their Bible. Sun goes out, you know, what in the world? Darker and dark. So you don't want to be the problem here, you know. So read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. All right, number three. When someone attacks you, you're able to laugh it off. Well, that's convicting enough. Let's move on. Now, in other words, what we're saying is few things bother you the way they would have bothered you, where you would have been all out of sorts. You would have been mad. You would have been fuming. How dare they do that? Give them a piece of my mind if I thought that they could, you know. No, you can't. You can't go that way. We can't go that way because it's a sign that when someone attacks you, you make it their problem and not yours. Sign of growth. Huge. All right, number four. So quiet. When you hear of someone getting upset with the pastor or another member, your first instinct is to pray for them. Your second instinct is to seek them out and see if you can help them. Right? There are people that don't like the pastor. Just goes with the territory. Not everybody likes ice cream, right? So they just don't. And they are pastor haters. Wherever they go, they hate the pastor. So you got to get in line. But if you spotted that, a mature person says, oh, I need to go and just, first I need to just pray. Because somebody in the body of Christ is under attack. Just, right? The truck is backed up. The lever has been extended. And the second thing is say, could I see you? Not to ream them out, but to see if you could win a brother or a sister. Right? Say, you seem pretty upset. Could I pray with you? Oh, so much maturity in that, right? It's not easy, though, to simply always react the right way. It isn't. But it's a sign that we are growing in the Lord. Number five, you rarely find yourself being tempted by the worldly things that used to entice you. In other words, maybe there's still some, but it's not like it was. So these days, your biggest problems are hidden flaws, which only you know about. We all have those, right? That it's not an issue in my life like it used to be, and I'm the only one that really knows about it. So I thought that is a very powerful thing. That you're not so tempted, whereas before that would have been huge in your life. Now, not so much. Not so much at all. And just there's smaller things, little things, just life issues, right? Not things of resentment and demonic stuff and anger and broken relationships and unforgiveness in your life. It just isn't there like it was. You are growing, and that's very, very exciting. Number six. The pastor and the leadership, you'd almost think that I gave this for the emphasis here, but I didn't actually. The pastor and leadership prepare a program in church, and you find yourself excited to belong to such a wonderful, active congregation. You love your leaders. Might get quieter, so I'll just move on. But you're getting what we're saying is that, hey, if the church is doing something, count me in. I want to do what the body's doing. I want to do what the Spirit seems to be saying to people, right? I want to be part of that. So even when we were praying for those four nights leading up to this emphasis, is that, Lord, we want to go somewhere. We want to grow somewhere. We really do, Lord. And so we hope that people will come on board and say, I don't know what that's about. I'll get back to you. No, not get back, to say, listen, I am so glad. I want to be part of an active congregation that's winning souls, that's reaching out, that's touching lives. Count me in, whatever you can help me. That's what I want to be a part of. Not dragging my heels, not kind of reluctantly, but I'm there. I'm there. And you know, in my life, and since I got saved, I've been in really right places. And they were growth settings that were so good. One was somebody, he's still around. He was here back this past week, and Brother Ed Bradley. You know, that atmosphere of growth, I really grew at that time. I think of the Bible school, huge things that were changing in my life. I think of Eston Church. I think of Regina. I think of Fruitvale. I think of Calgary. There's all kinds of places along there, opportunities to grow. And I'm grateful for those local churches that I was able to say, hey, count me in. I want to be a part of this. Number seven, somebody compliments you on being Christ-like and you blush. Not me, you think. I'm a pitiful example of a disciple of our wonderful Savior. And I would say to you, yep, you're doing just fine. You're doing just fine. You're doing good. When somebody says, I can really see growth in your life, that's a great compliment. It's a wonderful compliment. It's a powerful compliment. And in closing, I say this thought. A mature church is a wonder to behold. It's a wonder to behold. It's such a great thing to say, oh my goodness, that church is really strong. That church is really mature. Not just that they know their Bibles, but they know the Savior and they're becoming like the Savior. Stand with me if you would, please. What I thought we would do . This is very funny. See, they've numbered it now. That's good. I'd like us to rededicate ourselves. I know you maybe did that this morning. But I'm thinking, I don't want to miss what God's up to. My fear is that I'll, you know, be at the airport when my ship comes in. Just missed it a little bit there. I don't want to be. I want to be dead center. Right? I want to be growing. I want to be a leader that you can find strength from. And I know that comes as, you know, you can't lead any further than how you grow. Right? If I'm growing in the Lord, if I'm growing today, I'll be impacting tomorrow. If I'm not growing today, I won't be impacting anything. So here we are, an opportunity just to, we can't all come to the front anyway, so we might as well just stay where you are. But would you just dialogue with the Lord for a moment here and say, Jesus, I want to reflect the glory of God in my life. Rex, you can just stop, place off me. That'd be great. I want to be Christ-like. I don't want to take any shortcuts, because there are no shortcuts to growth. But I want to transition in every phase. I want to get every growing season that there is. Because, Lord, we want to hear your voice more than life itself, for you to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You ran well. You grew well. I brought you from a rebel to a worshiper. I brought you out of darkness that you can walk in the light. Oh, what a wonderful thing to be on to a group of believers who Jesus has saved. We thank you for the progress that we've made, but we're unhappy, Lord. We want more. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I really don't. I don't want to be an old guy that's not cutting it. I want to be a guy that's filled with the power of God. Do that in all of our hearts, Lord. And Lord, as we talk about today, about growth, and next week about stewardship and finances, and the week after, Lord, as we talk about reaching out in evangelism, I pray, God, that we'd even see a light come on our own hearts and say, yes, that's where I need to go. So here we are. Maybe just raise, if you feel like it, just raise your hands. Say, I'm in, Lord. I'm in. Count me in. I want to go further than I've ever gone before. And Lord, where I've always got kind of scared and turned around before I should have, Lord, I want to go beyond to embrace your plan for my life. And I pray that with my brothers and sisters, that we will be, Lord, all that you want us to be. I know we can't do it ourselves. We must look to your Spirit. And so we do today. We look to you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for chipping off some attitudes and conducts and behaviors and things where we're judgmental and we maybe haven't grown in love. Oh, Father, we just thank you. Add those to our faith. Add those to our faith. Let it be known, Lord, by all, that we are followers of Jesus. I pray for the small groups this week. Oh, God, I pray that you'll ignite our hearts, that as we talk and pray together, that you will make it even more real to us. We thank you. Yeah, we thank you. We do. Thank you, Lord. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, today would be a fine day for that. Today is the day of salvation. You could just open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. I repent of all my sin. And I receive Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into my heart and into my life. I open my heart to you, Jesus. I thank you. Please come in. I want to be born again. I want to know Jesus. And cause me, Lord, to be a strong follower of Christ. This day I surrender myself to you. This day I want you to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. This day. Thank you for the finished work of the cross and the death of Jesus, which means my salvation. Thank you. Lord, I pray that this person, this one who doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And be saved. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' strong name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just while you're standing, if you need prayer, come up to this side here. And we'll get a few prayer people here. We need to re-ramp this a little bit in the days ahead, space-wise even. But if you'd like prayer, come to this side. And if you've got a connection card, you have questions for us or information for us, or you want to know more about this church, just drop those cards in the back of the seat, drop them in the box. Make Marcel very happy. Put them in the box. All right? And then lastly, come for coffee on the patio. God bless you. Thank you. Keep on growing.